Okay, so a little bit sound system difference here. No problem, it's kind of our backup. Where I left off, the point is that he's going to come with that element of surprise. He said like a thief in the night. And again, you know, thieves don't call us up, tell us when they're going to break in. And, you know, there are certain ways we can figure out. For the second coming, we know that he's going to come, what, 1,260 days after the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple. So, once people are into the tribulation, they can figure out when Jesus is going to be coming back. So, there has to be a coming that is like a thief in the night, that's imminent, that nobody can pin down. So, the imminency of Christ coming, when we talk about that, it means he could come at any time. No warning, again. All through the New Testament, the authors expressed their belief that the Lord could return at any moment. And Jesus himself said this in his teachings. In Matthew 24 and chapter 25, he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." That's Matthew 24, verse 42. Then in verse 44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Then Matthew 25:13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven." I love that. From which, meaning he's coming from, "we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 3:20. To Titus, the Apostle Paul wrote that we're to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Obviously, he's our hope. He is the blessed hope. So these and other passages give the distinct impression that Jesus could come at any time. And anybody, those who reject the pre-tribulational view, they have to reject the possibility of Jesus coming at any time. Because if he's coming in the middle or the end of the tribulation, then his coming can't be imminent. I mean, especially post-trib, if he comes at the end of the tribulation, he takes everybody up to heaven and comes right back down again. That seems just plain silly. So in conclusion, let's think about this. What are the practical implications of the rapture? What does it mean to us? What does it really mean? What does this mean to us personally today? How does it work itself out in our lives? Well, I think there are three really important things we need to look at. And the first thing is that the rapture brings comfort. Now, a friend of mine, at one point, I remember him telling younger men that he didn't believe in the rapture, maybe. He didn't think we were going to see it, if there was one. He just felt really down on the whole idea. And the idea was that he'd learned about it in the 70s, and he'd been waiting that long, and he was just kind of tired out. And I said, you know, what you're doing is you're discouraging guys. They don't want to hear this. They want to hear the hope of the rapture. And he said, why give them a false hope? And I said, it's not a false hope. We're to comfort each other by telling other Christians that. And I said, it's scriptural. And that turned him around, that if the scriptures say by teaching this doctrine it brings comfort, he realized he was doing the opposite, but he realized if it's scriptural, the only comfort in it would be that it would come pre-trib and that it would come. So he turned around. I said, you know, you don't want to be one of the scoffers that Peter talks about, saying the Lord's delaying is coming or he's not coming, where is he and all that. I said, you need to be encouraging. Don't discourage. But showing him that this was scriptural, it kind of turned him around, and he thought, I need to be doing the other. I don't need to be discouraging. So the rapture brings comfort, and Paul recognized this when he said in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 18, he said, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So as we look at the world, and we see it moving really rapidly towards judgment, all these disasters we're seeing lately, tornadoes and everything, all this political upheaval, all these conspiracies, all this corruption in government and everything, we're moving towards judgment. But these disasters and catastrophes, a lot of them that we're seeing, I don't believe that's judgment yet. I believe that's just warning, because we haven't seen judgment yet. But as we think about the magnitude of the judgment, think of how many people are going to perish. And think of the horrors that lie ahead. Diseases, wars, famines, you know, think of these things. Catastrophes, earthquakes, plagues, darkness, all kinds of things coming. Another Holocaust. Of course, the coming of this Antichrist. We're not to be looking for him either. You know, we're to be looking for Jesus, remember. But anyway, think of all the horrors that are ahead. So it's comforting to know that we don't have to go through this time of death and destruction, right? So as we go out to evangelize and to speak to people about our faith in Jesus and warn them about the wrath to come, we can also comfort them with the promise of deliverance for those who believe. Now the second thing here, this teaching promotes holiness. The Apostle John said, and I know you guys remember this, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him." Picture that. When he comes at the rapture, we're going to be changed. Remember? Transformed. And we're going to be like him. And the way I woke up this morning with my sore back, I was so comforted by this. Think about it. So we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, again, our blessed hope, purifies himself just as he is pure. So if you're living with the conviction that the Lord could return at any time, then this conviction will definitely affect the way that you live. So you'll always want to live in a way that would please the Lord. So if he suddenly appeared, what would you be caught doing? What would you be doing as he appeared? Now, you don't have to believe in the rapture to be motivated to live a holy life. Now, it's Scripture, and Jesus talks about it. Scriptures talk about it, so I do believe that you should believe it. But many saints from previous generations, they didn't have any understanding of all the doctrines of the rapture or the church, but they lived godly. You know, they lived Christ-honoring holy lives and things, but like John said, those who are waiting for the revealing of Jesus Christ will purify themselves just as he is pure. Now look at it as an extra incentive, right? Some people dabbling in sin think, right, you know, just before the rapture happens, I'm going to get right with God. How do they know when it's coming? Nobody knows. How can anybody say that? Can I wait? I'll get right just at the right time. I'll get right just before I die. I'll get right. I don't know how you could ever think that. You could be taken in an instant. You could be raptured in an instant. So to think you're going to get right just before the rapture happens and you can live like hell now, forget about it. So actually, you won't have a chance. It'll be here and gone before you even realize it. Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, again, that twinkling of an eye, it's not the blink, it's quicker than that, a twinkling. I don't even know what we would say that is time-wise, but I guess it's like, how fast does it take for light to bounce off the eyeball? So, and then suddenly, that quickly, you're in heaven. So you're not going to have any time to think about anything. We won't have time to repent. 1 second you're on earth, and that's your reality, but the next second we'll be standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. And living with that understanding, I believe, and John does too, that's what he's saying, it should promote purity in our lives. Now the third thing, and the last one, is the belief in a pre-tribulational rapture will create in us a sense of urgency. I think of relatives, I think of friends, I think of neighbors. I think if the Lord came back right now, all the people who would be staying here, do you realize what they're going to be going through? So what I want to do is, I don't want to pray for them to make it through the trib. I don't want to pray for them to get saved during the tribulation. I want to pray for them to be removed from the earth before the tribulation comes. So there's a sense of urgency. And with the signs we see and everything going on today, we know that this is going to happen soon. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, said, "Therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, even when you think nothing's happening, even when it looks like that person isn't listening, even when you're scoffed at and ridiculed, persecuted and mocked and everything, you don't know what's going on in their heart, and maybe you planted a seed. You need to continue that urgency. Maybe we need to think of the imminency and go back to whatever it is that you've already shared about. It says, always abounding, doing all we can for the Lord. Now the rapture, again, it's a glorious promise. So what a great and wonderful truth this is then, that God hasn't appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. So our aim is that we live in the light of these facts, right? Let's conduct ourselves based upon the reality that at any moment of any day, at any time, we could suddenly be caught up into the air, into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're driving down the highway and the next thing you know, you're in the air. And the trumpet's sounding and you hear a shout and you see Christ and you become just like Him, and the dead are rising and the living saints are being lifted off the earth. And we need to be thinking about this. We need to be living with this hope. We need to be ready to share, because you think about the people being left here, who they could be, you know, and once they reach a certain age, kids are not automatically just taken into the presence of the Lord if they're already accountable. They're already accountable for the gospel and they reject it. Now, a lot of people are going to be raptured who don't believe in the rapture. You know, we can explain it to them on the way up and everything, but I think it's a very important doctrine. It's something that we need to know. So again, no man knows the day or hour, but of that day and hour, Jesus said, no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For some reason, He didn't know. He did step down, and it was, I don't know, He didn't know. That's all I know, that He didn't know when He was here on earth. I'm sure He knows now, or at least the Father knows for sure. We can know times and seasons. We know it's close. You know, again, our conversation is in heaven, or our citizenship, from whence also we look for the Savior. We look for the Lord Jesus Christ. We live our lives every day as though the Lord would come back at any moment. Our lives are going to be more focused. They're going to be more godly. Our priorities will be more spiritual. So as we contemplate and think, you know, of the possible soon coming of the Lord, we'll find ourselves with an urgency to share the good news with a world, for the most part, doesn't know anything about Him. So watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this doctrine. We thank You that it is clear, really, Lord. It was a mystery. But Lord, sometimes these mysteries are in here and they're hidden, and they look the way they look in Scripture so that we dig deeper, so that we can find out. Those who are really interested are going to dig. Those who are borderline or lukewarm, they don't dig. And Lord, I believe the way that You've constructed much Scripture, it's for those who diligently seek You. They need to dig a little bit deeper. Lord, I pray we continue to dig deeper as we see the times all around us and the things developing. We keep looking up. We keep a light touch. We're ready. There's urgency. We want to share. Lord, we know that it's imminent, and it gives us a great hope, and we encourage others with this same hope. So, Lord Jesus, thank You. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, just like John the Apostle prayed. Even so, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.